Hey, this is Alex Terranova, and this is the Dream Mason Podcast. We've been taught to behave, to fit in, to follow the rules, but Dream Masons reject conventional thought. Dream Masons are rebels. They take a chisel to the marble that is typical traditional life. They carve out brilliance and broadcast it to the world. Join me for another chapter as we unmask convention, embrace the rebels within us, and more deeply come to explore the complex and agitated edges of our existence. Now, before we get started, please don't be a rebel yet and grab your phone and hit that little button that says subscribe. Thank you. Because your dreams don't build themselves. What's up? What's up? We are live. Welcome back to the Dream Mason Podcast. I am your host, Alex Terranova. We're live again on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on YouTube. All these podcasts are also available on the Dream Mason Podcast, which is on Spotify. It's on iTunes. It's on iHeartRadio. It's on all the places you find your podcasts. And I'm really excited about today's conversation because we're going to have a guest who is making a comeback. I haven't had a lot of guests do multiple episodes, so he's kind of in a special. I think there's been less than five guests that have probably done more than one episode. And so he now is in a special class with these people. We're going to have to get them like a banner or a trophy or something. We're doing this episode. The timing is perfect, but we're doing this because when we talked last time, we started talking about dating and masculinity and attraction, and both of us are single, or I don't know if he's still single, but we were, and we just got into this and we were like, man, we need to have a whole nother conversation about those things, about dating, sex, relationships, attraction. And with everything that's going on with this Tulum experiment, it felt like perfect timing. So let me give you an update because I'm going to ask him what he thinks. So where we're at with the Tulum experiment is we keep getting deeper and deeper into this. So we are down to six women. One dropped out. We don't know why. She never had her interview. Her friends never interviewed me. I've had three women that my judges have interviewed and given the thumbs up for. Sorry, four women that my judges have interviewed and given the thumbs up for. Three of those women moved. Sent their friends to interview me, which was one of the coolest experiences, like actually getting to meet the friends of someone you could potentially date or travel with before you really even know them. So far, those three have gone well, and all of those women, I haven't messed those up yet. So all of those women are like, after you talk to our friends, we're still in. So we're waiting for one of the other women to connect us with her friends. And then there's two other women that are having their interview conversations with one of the judges today and tomorrow. And then there's also like little things going on, like DMs and voice memos and video kind of things on social media and whatnot, where we're asking each other questions like, hey, you know, one of the questions that's been come up recently is like about religion and spirituality, about political beliefs, about, this is a big one for me, is like, do you like camping? Are you a camper? I'm not a camper. I don't want to sleep in the dirt. I want a bathroom. I want a bed. I want the comforts of modern society. And if you like those things, that's great. I just won't be going with you. And so we're talking about these things because it's like, hey, this is important. And what's cool about this experiment is, you know, normally if you went on a first date, you probably wouldn't be like, hey, what are your political beliefs? Do you want to have kids? What are you spiritually? People are like terrified to have that. But because it's in the context of this conversation, it's just like, we're just throwing it out there right away. Let's just find out if we could be a good match or not. And it doesn't mean that we have to line up on everything, but we should know, because what's the point of wasting each other's time if we're actually looking for something? So that's kind of a little update. Hopefully in the next, I don't know, 5 days, we're going to have to get this from six to three or four. And then we're throwing around ideas like, how do we narrow it down? Maybe the bride and groom comes in. It's like, who do they want at their wedding? Does my mom jump into this? Does my mom interview these people? And like, who she thinks, you know, we're having fun with all this. But that is kind of what's next. Let me introduce our guest. If you keep up with the Dream Mason Podcast, you'll remember him. It's not been a long time. He is the author of this book, Learn, Improve, Master. It's essentially a book on how to be successful and gain skill at pretty much anything in life. It's a really great book. It is, I told him when he was on last time, it reads like very peacefully and very mindfully, but it's also really deep and you learn a lot because he clearly has done like the research. He didn't just write this by sitting at his computer thinking about what his opinions were about greatness. He's actually done the research and incorporates it and almost compiles evidence to make a case, which is what I really like. Nick Velasquez, how are you, man? Thanks for being here again. You are like our resident expert on greatness, basically.
Hey, Alex, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be back.
So you just heard when we talked the first time, this Tulum experiment had not existed yet. You said you've seen a little bit of it online. I'm curious, like, what's your take, especially like around everything I just said? What do you got?
I just thought that experiment was very interesting. The thing that came to mind though was maybe the pressure of having to be with someone you've never met or met very briefly and being in a vacation location. So I was just thinking, how would it be possible to relieve some of that tension? And the question that I had for you is, why was the contest done? I'm just curious, with one woman and not two women, let's say if you were looking for bisexual women, and then if it were three of you, then there's no necessarily pressure on just two people all the time. And it would allow for a little bit more kind of play and just having fun without putting so much pressure on each other. You know where I'm trying to go?
You just asked me why this contest doesn't have me bring multiple women to Tulum.
Basically, yeah.
We were talking about before we started recording why having conversations like this and having them recorded could potentially bar either one of us from holding political office. After the politicians that existed in office and high on low levels, I don't think there's much of what we could do that could actually have us barred from political office anymore. So I don't know that might have been the question that you would pose that would have done it, but I don't think that's going to happen anymore. But why did I not pose essentially a Temptation Island style show versus more of like a Bachelor style thing? Because I think honestly, like, I've been there, done that. I think, you know, in just dating and whatnot, I've spent tons of time like dating multiple women at one time. I actually don't like it. I think it's exhausting. I think it's overwhelming. I think it's like, I like to like someone. I like, and then I'm like distracted and I'm pulled back and forth. The intention of this is to find a partner, to find someone to be with. So I think, yes, we could have said, hey, I'm going to go to Tulum with three women and, I don't know. I change rooms every night, but I also think that would have given an impression that I'm not looking for something serious, that I'm actually just looking to like mess around. And I also think that this might be deep for some people, but, I think we all have areas that are the hardest for us to grow. And those areas are where like our biggest breakthroughs and magic occur. So for me, I know I really want a powerful partnership. But I also know that like my natural kind of survival instincts love the attention and the affection and love of women. I kind of can't have both. Like they're like a little opposed. Like I can't have that powerful partnership that I really want and then just be like constantly getting this attention. So one of the things that I realized is like I kind of lit a bunch of coals and I'm like, I got to walk across these coals. And if I want the thing I want, I'm going to have to give up the kind of old ways of being, the old patterns. So yeah, we purposely did create it so it's one person that wins and not, you know, a harem.
Just a quick note, I wasn't talking about a harem. I was talking about, let's say, if two women were coming and, or let's say if you were bisexual, there will be a girl and a guy. If you're not bisexual, then it will be two women who are bisexual themselves. And the idea would be to kind of relieve the pressure of two people. I'll put it in perspective. Now I'm going to share stuff that I've never shared before. But at one point in my life, so I had a long-term girlfriend, and we were discussing the idea of, would it be nice to get a, like that the couple, us together as a unity, would get a girlfriend. So it wouldn't be like a three-way, just in the general sense, but it's us as a couple who had been established and had been together for so long, then to get a girlfriend that we would take out, that we would treat as a girlfriend, but we would be a unit. And that ended up happening, and it happened for a couple months. And what I've noticed is that whenever we would be together and spending time together, it relieved a lot of the tension of having to just be so present for someone else. So maybe I'll be reading and then these two girls will be hanging out, or at one point one of them was doing some work and then the other two people were hanging out. And the reason I thought about that is because you're bringing someone into a vacation location, someone you haven't met. And like, if you think about a regular date when it's just two people and you already have that pressure of like, we're going to be talking for however many hours, or maybe having dinner, and there's kind of this pressure to either entertain or to just be engaged the entire time. And if it were two people, if you're bringing two people, then you get that chance of like having them talk to each other and you talking. I'm not just talking about sex. It's not the idea of you coming into one room and then coming into the other, but just kind of like three people hanging out and just relieving that tension. That's why it came to mind. Like, what? And then you get to choose. Maybe like someone doesn't want to be there, or you don't get along with that person. Say, you know what? I think I really have a connection with this other girl and nothing personal. Or maybe the two of them don't really get along with you and they decided they really like each other. I don't know. It's just a way, because maybe, I don't know how many days you're trying to spend there, but it feels like
it's like 2 weeks.
It feels like a lot of pressure for two people that don't know each other to spend 2 weeks together.
Yeah.
It feels like a lot of expectations need to be filled. And I will find it harder to create a very authentic connection when you have that much pressure on you. That's just why it came to mind.
Yeah. I mean, I think you make great points. I think for me, this is important. There's no right or wrong way to do this. I think for me, doing that would be playing with my ego too much. Like, it actually wouldn't be supportive of me. Like, I would enjoy that. Like, oh, look at me with two girls. I get to like it just would have not gone to like an empowered place. So I hear what you're saying. And look, if this was like a real, you know, if this was like a real reality show, if this was really like The Bachelor or something, that is the situation, right? He's in a house. There's like all these people. And at the same time, I also wonder like what happens with these people that are competing, right? We act differently when we're competing to win something. So how many of those women on that show just want to win, or they're actually into him?
Yep.
And so I do also wonder that, hey, if we were in that situation, if like me and five women went to Tulum, well, would they be wanting to be in Tulum? Did they want just a free trip to Tulum? Do they actually want to be with me? One of the things that I think we've done a really good job on is being really clear, like, hey, this is a experiment in finding a person. And that if you just want a trip to Tulum, we're going to figure that out and we're going to try to bounce you.
Right.
And if I am like, and part of my friends being the judges is that it's also me not just picking like whoever I think the hottest one is, or the one that's going to be the most fun, but actually who could be the best match for me. But I think that the cool thing that you bring up is that there's no right way to do this, right? Mm-hmm. The way you just presented, it could be a different experiment with a different model. So, you know,
at the same time, I think a lot of that idea of like the ego part and then how would it come across is related to the sex part, which you could have said like, look, there is not going to be any sex. And we're going to be there for 2 weeks. So the other thing that I wanted to bring up there is just, it's interesting. The experience that I told you about this kind of three people thing that I had going on. So it was my long-term girlfriend and then someone that we brought into the relationship. something that I always thought it was weird is we would be in line for a restaurant, let's say, and then the three of us would kiss, and then people would be looking at us very weirdly. So guys would kind of be looking and just being jealous of not being in that position. And a lot of women would be looking kind of like this asshole guy. And what I found, like a lot of the attention came to the guy who was, like in this case, me. And I always thought, why is not the attention on the girls? They're having a better part of the deal. They get to be with one of each of the sexes. They get to be with one girl and one guy. Like, I wish I were bisexual. That would be an amazing experience because you get to experience for both of them, for both sexes. And unfortunately, I'm not, but that would be pretty awesome. And I don't know why in our society and in our context, in that scenario, kind of the blame or the judgment came down to me, whether for the guys or from the girls, instead of people looking at the girls and saying, like, that's so cool for them. They get to be with one guy and one girl. That's awesome. It just speaks a lot to our concepts in society and in our culture. It shouldn't be that way.
I mean, I definitely think that anything that triggers you is more about you than anything else, right? So if I was sitting there and I saw you with two girls, you know, I would be the person that would be like, what the fuck? You know, is this guy rich? Like, what's his deal? Like, why does he, you know, what's the benefit here, right? I would have these things. But it's not actually about you. It's about me. If I didn't even notice you all, I would say that I probably have a good relationship with these things. But the fact that if I'm noticing it and it's triggering something, mm-hmm. you know, most people will say, well, no, it's like he shouldn't be doing that or whatnot. But it's actually about them and their own insecurities, their own judgments, their own fears. To your point, like, I'm not bisexual. But I agree with you. Like, when people make comments about, you know, I think someone that's bisexual or like, has no, like, doesn't even identify to like what sex they are or whatever. Like, to me, that's awesome. Like, you get to choose and explore life however you want. Whereas like me and you are like, okay, we just are into women, which is fine, right? That's not a bad thing, but it's simply limiting. Whereas if you were like, hey, I like everything, it's just all these more options. It is kind of a cool situation. I mean, I will say I don't think I've ever had someone come on my podcast, tell me that I should date multiple women at one time, that they should be into it, that I should take them to Tulum.
I was just curious. Like, I'm like, the question.
I'm like, I bring someone on, you're like handsomer than me. I'm like, wrote probably a better book than me. I'm like, come on. I don't know if I can do this. We should just end this. I want to take a step back because a lot of this started because we were talking about like these things. And then you recommended two books to me that are not your books, but one is The Evolution of Desire and one is The Art of Seduction. And you didn't recommend these books to me like, hey, go like manipulate. Like, these are not like go manipulation books. These are books that are like educating on human behavior. And we kind of started with the conversation about the book, The Game, which both of us were familiar with, which if you're watching this and you're listening to this and you're not familiar, there was a book by Neil Strauss that was called The Game that was written probably, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And it was all about how he went into the world, what would they call it? It was like
the community.
I forget what it's called, but basically it was like they were like men who were trying to essentially crack the algorithm on like getting women. And it didn't relate to women as people. It related to women as a game and a thing to be conquered and essentially won over. And I remember reading it and being like, well, this is like kind of fucked up. But also like, this is brilliant from that standpoint of like, if you're that guy and you want this. But then we also got to this place of Neil Strauss then wrote another book. What's the second book he wrote called that you told me about?
The Truth.
The Truth, which is basically like he came around the other side, right?
Yes.
And I think Neil Strauss is like a completely different person now, right? He's into personal development, personal growth. He's all about awareness. But I really wanted to bring you on here and talk about these things, about desire, about seduction, about attraction, dating, and just kind of see where this went. So, you know, if we step away from Tulum for a second, so people can get an idea, you're single, you're not bisexual. We established that.
Always, the way I like to put it is always single, but never alone. I like my single life, but I do enjoy spending time. And I do like kind of deeper connections. It doesn't mean that I'm just going kind of from one person to the next. I enjoy like having kind of relationship type, but not necessarily having that link to it.
And, okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of the situation for me.
What do you want long term?
That is hard to say. And I think part of it is also, this is something that is not talked about enough in dating life, and it's aging, right? So I do think we change with age. So there's something that I think a lot about is age appropriate truths. So I think I lived my life in reverse. I got a girlfriend when I was in high school or finishing high school, and she was my high school sweetheart, and she was kind of the only girl that I had been with. And we worked together for a very long time. And one of the issues that came in a couple of years into the relationship was, I've only been with you. And I think that sooner or later, it is going to become an issue. Because sooner or later, I'm just going to wonder what else was out there. And that's kind of how when we decided to open up a relationship and be able to have other partners, even though we were still in that very committed relationship, but it was an open relationship. And I think that was important for me because I needed to experience the other part. So going back to the age appropriate truths is, maybe in your younger years, it's important that you meet different people and then you realize what you like, what you don't. What is it that you want for your life? And then later on, you might just settle down, but you need to have those experiences. The same, putting it in contrast with when I read some people that say, well, I thought when I was young, I thought that staying up late was the shit. And now I realize that waking up early is the shit. Like, no, it was the shit when you were young to stay until late, because that's what you were supposed to do. So that was age appropriate. And now later in life, then it's okay that I enjoy waking up early. But that doesn't mean that you had the wrong idea of what was the cool thing or the good thing to do. Is that it changes as we grow up. So I believe the same thing. Like if you're young and if you're in college, then it's good to have these experiences and meet different people and then realize what you like, what you don't. And I keep in mind that one of the biggest regrets of people when they're dying is, I didn't have enough sexual partners. Like I didn't experience sexuality enough. So I think that's something that we have to keep in mind and kind of get out of the way. We know, for example, and I know I would relate to you in this sense. You tell me if I'm mistaken or not, but a lot of partners is not going to fill that hole inside. So whoever is a serial dater, you're looking for validation. But if it's not coming from within you, you're never going to have enough. It doesn't matter how many women you're with. But sometimes if someone tells you, if you put your hand on the stove, it's going to burn, you know it. But you still need to put your hand to realize that it burns. So I can't go out there and give the advice of like, look, whoever guy is out there trying to just serial date and say, hey, this is not going to be fulfilling. I know that as much as I say it to that person, it's not going to change the fact that they have to go through that path and realize it on their own. There are some truths that we can only find with our own experience. And it doesn't matter how much other people tell us, we're only always going to have that regret if we don't realize it ourselves emotionally. Because one thing is knowing something consciously, like rationally, and another one's knowing emotionally. Think about it this way. If I say the universe is very big, you say, yeah, I know that. But if I take you out on a moonless night to look at the Milky Way, then you go, oh shit, this is huge. And now you feel it. So sometimes it's not just about that cognitive side of understanding, but the emotional side of understanding. So for people to realize that serial dating is not going to be fulfilling, especially men or heterosexual men, sometimes you just have to go through it and realize that's not what's going to be fulfilling in your life.
I heard a few, like some really cool things in there. One is that size matters, specifically when it comes to the universe, though, not in other areas. Right. secondly, I love your concept around things being age appropriate, and not being age appropriate like in a negative connotation, like, oh, old people should do this, young people should do this, but experientially, I love that nighttime, right? I remember, yeah, like I'm all about mornings now and nights don't matter. But it's not that nights or days are better than the other. It's simply like where I am in my life and based on the life I want to live inside of this context. And I like completely agree with you. I admire people that, you know, married their first boyfriend or girlfriend, like out of high school or college. I think like, hey, if they're living the life they want to live and they're happy, like that's kind of incredible and amazing that they found somebody like that, that it works so well with. That's also very rare, right? Like it's pretty rare that that happens. I also admire someone who's old, let's just say like 60s, 70s, 80s, who's never been married and seems like they've enjoyed their like freedom and their individuality in their single life. And they got what they wanted out of life. I also have admiration for, I mean, even my parents, both my parents were married before they were together. My dad was married 3 times. My mom was married once, but they've been together for like 40 something years and they're still together. And I really admire that, you know, not only did they like get it wrong before they got it right, but even in the getting it right, they didn't get it right. Like it's taken work and practice and evolution. And I think for me, like seeing all this, a lot of this, like this experiment is even about, you know, I've done the long-term relationships. I've been in so many relationships that lasted 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And I've also been the single guy. And what I notice is it's really fun to be the single guy. It's more fulfilling to be in a relationship. Almost like I love eating pizza, but being vegan for me is way better. Right. It's like if I ate pizza all the time, it's not going to work for me in my life. But there are people out there, right, who eat like pizza and Taco Bell and like those things, and they're fine. It just doesn't work for me. And I think to the point what I love what you're saying is like, hey, you don't know unless you have an experience, right? I don't know. I didn't know that being mostly vegan was going to work for me until I tried it. And maybe if I had tried it when I was 22, it wouldn't have worked for me. But at this stage in my life, it does. And I love the idea that like, hey, 5 years from now could be a whole different decision, whether it be around food or even partnership, in the sense of we have a silly context that like a relationship that ends is a failure. Instead of it simply being like a new chapter, we're turning a new page in a book and like a new book is being written or a new chapter. And relationships that end are not failures. They're simply part of the journey and the experience.
Yes. Well, a point to that is that for relationships that end, I never understood people that just kind of cut ties completely with the people that they broke up with, unless it was something very serious, like something that you felt it was a big betrayal or something like that. But otherwise, I have like very fond feelings for the people that I've dated in the past. Because if I chose them at one point, it's because I saw something valuable in them. So why would I hate them after? It just doesn't make any sense. Unless it was something big, you know, if it's something that really
disappointed you.
But other than that, like those people that I never want to know about this person or I hate this person now, it's like you're killing part of your history now. So if you spent 2 years with a person, now you're trying to erase those 2 years. Like, really? That was part of your life. That was part of your experiences. It shouldn't have been. And then they complain about them. And like, that says more about you because you decided to be with that person. And now you're saying they're horrible.
Like, you know, and
excluding cheating and other things that like you weren't part of it. You weren't agreeing with that. And then someone kind of betrayed you and did things to you that are bad. But other than that, if relationships ended in a good tone, then I don't understand why people would hate their previous partner.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Even in if they end badly, I think, right, like it's like clogging up a pipe. Like you're the only one that gets affected. If I hate a previous partner, they're not over there suffering from my hatred. I'm suffering with my hatred. If I can't forgive them for what they did, they're fine. I'm suffering with that, like those feelings. it's often, I think, really sad when people are like, oh, I could never forgive them, or I would never forgive somebody outside of relation, you know, outside of romantic, because it's like, hey, that person is out there living their life perfectly fine. You know, your thoughts and I can't forgive is not like a black cloud chasing them around. They're doing them and they're doing it just fine, but you're holding on to this energy that probably makes you feel shitty and angry and upset. It's tough. I like really work a lot on like forgiving and letting go. And I'm with you. Like I would have, you know, I think sometimes when relationships end, there's a lot of emotion, and sometimes we can't be friends or like have a relationship right away. We need to like, you know, it's almost like the ocean after a storm. We need to like let the water settle before we go run and jump in and get crushed by the waves. But I agree with you. Once we've kind of like let that happen, I have great relationships, I feel like, with most of the people that I've dated. And then there's a few, I want to say the more recent ones, that we don't have a relationship. And I think that's sad, but you know, I don't get to say the both sides of it, you know?
True.
I'm also,
and you don't need to have a relationship with those people, but the point is that not hating everything about them, because then you're preventing yourself from enjoying the good parts that you did have. So if you were with someone, you most likely enjoy things about them, and when you, like, after a while you still hate them, is you're erasing part of your own history. Now you don't get to go back into those memories and look at them and feel happy about them.
Yeah. Well, here's a question. So when I have a relationship end, I take my cell phone and I plug it into my computer and I pull off all the photos of that person, like, or all the things, like, off my phone and put them on my computer.
Okay.
I don't want to see them like when I'm scrolling like through my phone. Like, I don't need that like constant like reminder, especially when it's fresh. But I also believe like, I don't want to delete an aspect of my life. Like, I don't want to just throw an aspect of my life. I do think that, you know, when I'm 80, looking back, it's going to be like really cool to be like, oh my God, remember that person in those times. And to even say to your kids, like, oh, before I met your mom or what, your dad or whatever, this is the person I was, the, and share, like, that's part of your story. Same thing with, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen this, right? When you see somebody's Instagram and they have five photos, but their Instagram has existed for 6 years and they went and they wiped their past clean.
Right.
Again, I don't have a judgment or an opinion about it. To me, I'm like, if you go through my Instagram, you will see my exes. Like, you will see the life that I've lived over the last however many years, which to me is like, I don't want to erase the history.
Yeah.
You know,
it's part of you. It's really part of you. Yeah. And now it makes you who you are. So it's unavoidable. And like you said, it's never a failure. They either make you better, or they leave you with experiences and memories that you get to look back on. So whatever experience comes in life is not necessarily the bad or good. And there's always something in there. And sometimes it's just looking at it like, well, it happened and I enjoyed it while it lasted. And now it's not there. And okay, it's time to move on. To that point too, something that you were saying earlier, but I was thinking that this idea of like finding the relationships that now with the dating apps and so much availability is like someone is trying to find the perfect partner right off the bat. And when you said about your parents having to work on that relationship, I think that's part of, no one kind of wants to do the work anymore. Like, people want to find that perfect partner. And if it's not, if it don't feel it's perfect, even the first day or the first week, is like, move on to the next, because you have so many other options. And that is just sad. It's also unrealistic, because you're not going to find a perfect partner or a perfect relationship. You build a perfect relationship. You don't find it. You build it. And I don't know, like, you see with the dating apps, people asking for almost perfection. It's like, no one's perfect. And you're bringing a lot of also baggage and problems within you, and you're trying to find someone that doesn't have any. It doesn't make any sense, that this propagation of like finding the perfect partner or the perfect relationship right away, it's unrealistic. And I think it's keeping more people single or just disappointed at the dating life.
When you're dating, you know, I'm learning a lot through this experiment about things that I didn't pay attention to before. I talked pretty like publicly about how I like, it was visual, like attraction, passion, intelligence. Like, if you were beautiful, if you were passionate about something and you were smart, I'm like cooked. But then I would ignore bigger value things, like how somebody wants to raise their kids, or like religion or political things. And sometimes for people, those things don't matter. For me, they matter. They matter a lot. And I don't have to agree with exactly what somebody is, but I do think we need to be able to talk about it and accepting of the other person. And some people aren't accepting or tolerant of other people's views, especially on these like hot topics. When you're dating, you're not looking for perfection, kind of, as you just said, but what do you look for? Like, how do you, a question I often think is like, I'm like, man, how do we look for red flags?
Yeah. So a couple of things there, and this ties back in with the book, The Game. So one of the things on one of the lessons in the book is attraction is not a choice. You don't get to choose who you're attracted to or not attracted to. So in that sense, it's like, I'm not thinking, does this person share the same views as that? Because that's not going to make for a perfect partner. Like, you need to have that vibe, that energy, you know, when things spark. So I do like going out a lot. And the way I approach dating apps, for example, I never thinking of like dating necessarily. It's not like I'm going out on a date. I'm thinking I'm going out to meet someone new. And in a way, that's another form of traveling. It's like you get to see the world through a different perspective. And when I talk to girls about this, it's funny because my experience with online dating or like asking someone out, I know I'm going to have fun, because from a guy's perspective, it's very different. I know that no girl is going to make me feel uncomfortable. It's not going to make me feel harassed. It's not going to make me feel like, oh, this girl is a creep. Girls are pretty awesome. They're pretty cool most of the time. And it's really fun talking to them because you can talk to them just about anything. Talk to them about fashion, about people. Guys, I find it hard to talk to. It's like, what do you work on? What car do you have? I'm like, dude, did you watch?
It's the like very. Game?
Like, I don't know.
It's very like surface. I feel the same way. That
yeah, not but all talking men, to women right? is not all men, of course, but talking yeah. to women is passing it. You can go into deep conversations really quickly. And so I tell them, for me, when I go out with someone that I met off Tinder or Bumble or whatever, I know that I'm gonna have a good time, and I'm not thinking I'm taking out this person on a date. I'm just thinking I'm taking out this person to get to know them, just to have time with someone that I didn't know. And I know it's going to be fun for them. It's a completely different experience. They don't know if the guy's going to make them feel uncomfortable, if they're going to feel harassed, if they're going to feel pressured, if the guy's a creep. So we come from very different spectrums. For me, I always know I'm going to have fun. And if you don't click, it doesn't matter. I get to tell all my Japan stories all over again. So it's like a fresh audience every time.
That's one of the things I actually don't like that I got old about dating, which is like, man, it's like the same stories over and over again that in this experiment, for the most part, it's like I get to tell like a story, but I get to find out things without having to like rehash all these things. I don't know if you, I think at a certain point, right, it was fun to tell your stories for a long time. And then I got like, I was like, all right, I've told my stories enough.
No, I still love it. I still love telling my stories. So you can think about it as a performer kind of thing. So like, say for a magician that does the same show every night, and they do like that. Some people like that repetitive part of it.
Yeah.
And I enjoy is just where the stories go depending on the person I'm talking to. So maybe I'll tell a story about Japan, a certain thing, and then this person will be asking me questions that no one else asked me before. So I get to know myself better as I get to know someone else. And that's what makes it so fun. I never think about it as like dating in the sense of putting that pressure onto people to go out and have dinner and maybe having a romantic relationship. No, I'm just thinking I'm going to get to know someone else and this is going to be fun. Now, like I was saying, from the women's side, there is this bit from... What is the name of this guy? Louis C.K., the comedian.
And oh, yeah. We're like the biggest. Yeah. We're their biggest enemy.
Yeah. And he's saying like, well, imagine that something that's bigger, stronger than you, that could kill you or take advantage of you, tells you, hey, you want to go out together at night alone when there's no one around us. And that the whole species depends on women saying, that sounds like a great idea. So yeah. It's very complete opposite sides of the spectrum. I love meeting new people, and I love telling the stories, and I'm finding out about how they see the world. And if it goes well, perfect. If it doesn't, I got to know someone else. It's just cool. I enjoy it.
So here I have a question for you that I've never talked about this at all on a podcast. And I think this is a really interesting situation because it's recent in my space, but I don't think, and I've never really had this twice in my life has this happened. And once was with a friend who shared this with me. And then once was like in a dating situation, which is recent. I was out on a, you know, a second or third date, whatever it was. And we hadn't like done much, you know, we hadn't been intimate or had sex or anything like that yet. And this person told me that they wanted to have sex. They like just straight up were like, you know, I want to have sex with you. And I was like right now here in this restaurant, we just hop over this booth and just get down. And they were like, no, like later. And I was like, okay. And I was kind of like, that was interesting. She just like put it out there. I like respect, like she says, she's asking for what she wants. And then I was like, yeah, I mean, we'll just see what, I'm okay with this. Sure. Yes. And like, let's just see what happens. And then, about a minute or two later, she shared with me that she has an STD. And I thought she was joking at first, because just the way the conversation rolled, then I went, oh, well, first of all, I felt like so impressed by her, like courageous and brave for just owning like her truth, like her situation, and having the courage to just say it out loud. Because there, if you look at statistics, like we know that like it's like 1 in 4, 1 in 3 people have an STD or have had an STD. And I don't know about you, but I think I've been with my fair share of people and none of them have told me that they have or don't have things. So I'm going, people are lying. Yeah. Or I just have the greatest luck of all time, which I don't think I have. And it, in talking to some of my friends about this, I'm like, that's crazy, right? Because some of my friends were like, yeah, no girl or guy has ever said that to me either. And we're like, okay, we're all not this lucky. And so people are clearly just not being honest. So first of all, I had massive respect for this woman to just like show up, put it on the table. And then this, it was in my space now, right? Of like, hey, for me, I was like, hey, this doesn't work for me. Like, I'm just, it's, there's nothing, you know, it's not a thing about you. It just, it just doesn't work for me. Like, I just don't know how to be with that. But have you had situations like that happen? Have you like, I mean, what comes up for you when I bring up this concept, this idea?
No, it's never happened to me. And
see, everyone's lying.
Yeah. People are hiding it because no one has said to me, hey, I have an STD or have had an STD. So yeah, I don't know. It's just, well, props to her because that's awesome that she told you and being so straight up.
Yeah. It's also scary. Like when I was talking to my cousin about this, we were like, man, this is like kind of terrifying from a sense of like, look, most things are not going to hurt you, like are not going to kill you. But like, it's kind of terrifying to think that how dishonest we are, right? Like that, I don't think you need to meet someone and tell them all the most, you know, vulnerable things about yourself, like the moment you meet, right? But how dishonest we are as people that we don't tell people often things that could actually hurt them. We often don't tell in dating people things they might not like because then they might not like us, right? If I, I said to someone recently, I was like, you know, I'm very spiritual, but I'm not religious and I'm not really wanting religion as the way I raise my children. Mm-hmm. And they shared with me that they kind of like downplayed how much their culture and religion matters to them. And I get it, right? Like, I don't feel any way about them, but, and it was cool that they noticed that they did that and they shared it with me. But that we do that because we want to be liked and accepted, right? We all want to be liked, loved, and accepted. And we're literally doing things that could hurt other people or cause damage down the road to get that need met up front.
Yep. Well, one of the things to that is, I don't know why we want to plan all the way to the end, knowing that most relationships don't end up in the happy ending marriage for 50 years. And we go about like saying, in your example, like, I don't want religion. I don't want my kids to be raised in an environment with religion. Like, you don't even know if you're going to date this person for a month or a week or if it's going to be a year. And somehow that becomes just like a deal killer. And it goes back to the earlier point of, we don't know who we're going to be in 2 years or in 5 years or what's going to happen or what kind of trade-offs we need to make. Sometimes like relationship has a lot to do with okay, you know what? This thing is not as important to me that I can let it go, because it is way more important for you. And what's important for me is that you're happy. So we're coming in from this very inflexible point of like, this is everything I want. And some of the demands are like minimal. They don't really matter in your life, but it goes back to the, we want that perfect partner. And I don't, that creates so much problem. Look, I'm very honest when I meet people and when I start dating a girl and say, I don't want a family. I don't want to get married. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to change my mind maybe in the future, but I've never wanted it and I still don't want it. To this day, I can say I don't want to. And that's been the reason of many, many women just walking away and saying, you know what? I can't be with a person who doesn't want to get married. I'm like, you don't even know if this relationship is going to last for a month or 5 months, but then your issue is that I'm not thinking about getting married 5 years down the road. How about we first have like something that is meaningful to the point that we can discuss this? But for many women, it's like that this really is a red flag. It's like, you just met me, but I say I don't want to get married. But I try to be honest about that because many guys are not. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, I would love a committed relationship. I would love to get married and have a family. And then later they dump the girl 2 weeks later because now they want to sleep with another one. I don't go with that. But it has cost me many women in my life because they didn't want to be with me, thinking, well, what are the odds that we're going to end up together for 50 years? How about we enjoy what we do get to have? Because this is the only time we're going to have it. And it's the only opportunity that we're going to have together. Like that two people met in this world at this time, like in this location, that like each other, that want to spend time together and live some share experiences. That's valuable enough. But it's always this idea that we're planning all the way to the end. And if the entire road, the entire map is not perfect, then move on to the next. If we're missing out on a lot.
There's like so much of both sides here, because you can see it both ways, right? Like I'm with you on the, hey, let's chase the feelings. Let's have the experience. Let's enjoy and see what happens. And then I've also found myself right in that it didn't, we get to a place that because that enjoyment, that fun, like we got to a place that now those conversations, we wish we would have had them and just decided early on, because I would never call it a waste. I think every relationship I've had, I've learned, I've grown. But we could say that there are things that really matter to people, right? Like if you really, there's people out there that want to get married like now, they want to start having kids now, next year, next week, whatever. And if you meet someone like you and you're like, I don't want that. Well, yes, I 100% agree with you. You could change. And we often, a lot of us do change. But if that person knows they want that, then is it worth the gamble for like, hey, I might have a good time with Nick. But like, is it worth me? Like, how many chips am I willing to slide in on this poker table to hope that maybe he changes or that maybe things happen? And I think that's where, as we get older, that same conversation shifts, right? When we're younger, I'm with you of like, hey, let's have experiences. Let's find out who we are and whatnot. And then as we get older, if we do find out what we want, right? Like I'm at a place now where I'm like, I didn't, in my like late 20s and early 30s, I wasn't sure what I wanted. And now as I move through my 30s, I become more and more clear that like, hey, I do want a partner. I'm not as attached to children as some people are. Like, hey, I'm partners first. And if we want to have kids, fine. But I'm totally open to it. But to me, it's like, I know there's this thing I want, which is a partner. And if I'm going to look for that partner, there's some things that I found that work for me and some things that don't. And it's actually less about things that have worked for me. I think it's things that people are okay with me that they don't think so. Like I can get in with somebody and they're like, oh, this is great. We're having a good time. Oh, his beliefs about this don't matter. And then down the road, they matter a lot when things get more serious. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's a both. It's not being in the moment.
To add to that is one of the things, let's say we talked about Japan and you wanting to go to Japan because you get to live an amazing experience, get to see something else. But would you be sad that you don't get to stay? It's like, would you be sad that you go to Disneyland for one day and then you don't live there? There are so many experiences that we go through that they end. That's the whole point. And part of the value is that they do end, that you don't get to be there forever. So I do agree that the conversations have to come up at one point, but a lot of our experiences and the greatest memories of our lives are not perpetual. So we have this idea that maybe, I think the problem is that we're in love with an idea, a concept. So for you, let's say right now is I want to find this kind of partner, but are you aware that maybe you'll find that partner and realize that's not what you wanted? We talked about this in the previous episode where like I wanted to go fly a plane. And then when I was flying the plane, it's like, I don't really want this. So what could happen that you say, well, I want all those things. And then you find the girl that has all those things. And now you're in a committed relationship. And then you realize, you know what? This seemed better in my mind than it's in real life. This is not really what I want. So sometimes we're just in love with the illusion, with the idea. And Disney fucked us up, all of us. Because it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't, not at all. And like I said, it's something that you work on instead of something that you find. But maybe doing the work, you realize this is just not what I wanted.
We do, I think to your point, right? We only have the present moment to go off of though. So, right, you saying, I want to fly a plane, present moment decision, and then you do, and then there's a new present moment decision. And I think that's important to keep in mind for all things, but I also, all these things, I love that like life is so not black and white. There's so this like, yes, there are extremes of black and white, but there's so many of these shades of gray where we do sometimes have to fight through what we don't like or don't feel comfortable with, right? You talk about this in your book, getting better at something to get to the result, even when it doesn't feel like the thing we want. So you might have been thought flying a plane was a different experience, right? And then you get up there and you're like, oh, this is not the experience I thought it was going to be. So you're like, this isn't for me. Totally think that that's like happens all the time in life, right? We think something is going to be one way and it's not. And then we realize, oh, well, I wanted it, but I wanted it the other way. And then sometimes I think we want something like, for instance, you and I have both written books. A lot of people want to write books. A lot of people want to write books, right? But then they sit down at their computer and the words don't just spill out magically.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh my God, it's so hard to write a book. But they still do want to write a book.
Yes.
And they can't get past that. This doesn't feel good. This isn't as easy as I thought. And I think that there's that aspect of how do you, sometimes when we say we wanted something, we kind of have to stick inside of the, hey, I said I wanted it, even though at the moment I didn't say I wanted it. And sometimes we have to know that like, hey, I thought I wanted something that I don't want. And those things can exist at the same time.
Yeah. It becomes very complex. And we can go back to, so you had a period of your life where you were dating a lot and you thought that was going to bring you some fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you wanted. At one point you made that decision of, I want to date several partners and see how this goes. And as you were doing it, you said, this doesn't feel that whole. So what I think is now that you're kind of switching your perspective, what's going to happen? Could that be the same illusion where you have, I want this partner who I think is going to bring me that fulfillment. And maybe you won't. Maybe just in the same way that at one point you wanted multiple partners and you thought that was going to bring you some fulfillment and it didn't. And now it's changing to something else. I think the overall point or the bigger point here is we're really bad at realizing what's really going to make us feel good. We fall in love with ideas and kind of with illusions. Sometimes we just have to go through them. It's like what I explained before. If someone tells you that if you put your hand on the stove, it's going to burn. But one day you're just going to have to put your hand and realize, oh, yes, this burns. And everyone told me, but damn it. Now I know it. So yeah, it's kind of very complicated. I don't think there's just one single path. And in that book, The Evolution of Desire, one of the things they talk about is that usually when you find someone, or males and females, when they find someone that is kind of at their same sexual value in a way, and I want to kind of explain sexual value because it could be taken out of context. It's the idea that we all internally have a sense of the type of partners we can attract. And when we find that we are with a partner that is kind of at our level or higher, guys, which are more promiscuous by nature, they tend to settle down for those partners because they found like, oh my God, I'm kind of dating out of my league now. So this is the kind of person that I should try to keep on because it'd be really hard to find someone as good. So I think we also change depending on the environment, which is another variant there. It's just, it's a very complex subject and trying to put it in simple terms as in, I want to date many people or I just want to date one is too simplistic. And it really depends on the people you're going out with. Sometimes I might go out with someone and I thought it was going to last a week and then just fall for that person and say, you know what? I want to keep seeing this person for a lot, as long as it lasts. Again, attraction is not a choice.
Well, one of the things I love like talking to you about is because I never know where it's going to go. I think you bring like unique perspectives. I also really like that you often, it's like none of it's right or wrong. You're not like, hey, it's right to be with one person. It's wrong to be with one person. It's you really just like open up the conversation. It's a very, I think I shared this with you. It's like a very like Ryan Holiday or very like stoicism kind of way of like, hey, let's question it all. Let's look at it all instead of having these like definite feelings about things. So thanks for like totally messing up my world again. And now I'm like, should I not do this? Should I just date in the moment? Does it matter what political, religious, you know, if they like camping or I don't like camping? I think the thing is that I really get from you is like, hey, we just got to keep asking questions. We got to do what feels right in our current present reality. And that doesn't mean just abandon everything when it changes, but like ask more questions. So thanks for being here. What I feel like you have something you want to throw in there.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And some of the views that I've expressed over our conversation, I just want to clarify that many times I like to take the devil's advocate position. Just for the sake of asking questions, of opening up, is like, hey, why not this? When I say why not to women, I'm just trying to open up the conversation. I'm not suggesting this would be that way. I'm just saying, why wasn't that an option? Why aren't you considering like this other thing? So in many things, dating and sex is just, hey, why don't we think about it this other way? It doesn't mean that I approve it. It's like, why do we accept it as truth before going deeper and just seeing all the nuances? In my life, I don't know what's appropriate. I'm right now, I think I want to have something a little bit more serious, something a little bit more committed. I had a recent experience where I enjoy having that, and haven't had it in a while except for the long-term girlfriend that I had. And I think my current situation is asking me more for that, maybe because everything else is such a mess that I need something a little bit more stable. But maybe if everything else were stable, I'll be looking to create a mess in my life, because in a way we need some self-destruction in one way or another, and we like to create drama for ourselves.
But I
think everything else is so complicated in my life now that maybe I'm thinking, you know what, I would like to find someone that I see on a regular basis and that we can build something a little bit deeper instead of just kind of going on this surface dating. But other times, maybe if everything else goes well in my life, then I'm saying, you know what, I want to go back a little bit to the other side. So we're changing. We're constantly changing. What you want today may not be what you want tomorrow. And is the overall point here is it's really tough to make decisions that are going to affect the rest of our lives in a moment in the present, because you don't know what you're going to be tomorrow. And once we make those decisions, it's harder for us to break them or to take the opposite view because we're already committed. But imagine if you committed to what you wanted as a kid of being a firefighter or being a policeman. We change. We all change all the time. So don't make really long-term decisions based on short-term feelings. I guess it's the overall point or the bigger point here.
And if you're a woman out there and you're watching this or listening to this and you're like, you know, I wonder what it would be like to have, you know, date a teeter-totter. Nick is your guy. Like, you might go up, you might go. I'm just messing around. You never know which direction it's going. If you're going to push hard off the ground or it's going to stay up, you know. So, Nick, I like really appreciate just the depth of the conversation. I like the devil's advocate. I like the challenging, the questioning. Just looking at it from like, there really is no, you know, none of us are born with an instruction manual or like a, how this life is supposed to be lived. So yeah, we need to decide, but we also need to like look at why we're deciding and how we're asking questions. How do people find you? How, if people want to talk to you, I want to, this is your book again, Learn, Improve, Master. If people want to find you, you know, chat with you, tell you that they hate you, want to date you, how do they do that?
I think the easiest thing would be, so going to my blog, it's unlimitedmastery.com. And over there, I have the handles for all my social media. One thing that I wanted to live with, and I want your perspective on this, is of many years of just reading about sex and relationship and dating and all this other stuff, which I know we briefly just touched on dating and attraction and all the other things. I think we went very deep in the conversation about relationships and stuff. But something that I always thought about is, you see, for example, being people in relationships throughout history and then having lovers or being cheating and stuff like that. And this is such a normal part of human beings. And most of the drama in our lives comes from this. So if the behavior never changed and has never changed throughout history, and we see it as a kind of a natural part from both sides, men and women, then it's most likely our relationship with those actions that needs to change. We need to change about how we think about those things, because those things are not going to change. That is a thought that it haunts me a lot. It's like, cheating has been throughout history on both men and women. It's prevalent. Or also the idea of love being so common. If love were so rare, it wouldn't happen to almost everyone in the world.
Yeah.
So it's our relationship, it's our construct, our idea of interpreting these things that needs to change, because the behavior itself is not going to change.
So I know this is going to be held against me in the spectrum of my life as a coach and a leader. But this is something that I've like really tapped into lately that is really feels really true to me and really real, right? In this moment of life, who knows where we'll be later, but the human experience is a messy experience. The human experience is not meant to be utopia. It's not meant to be perfect. It's not meant to be roses and glitter and, you know, perfect harmony. And that, since the beginning of time, it's never been. It's always been a mess. We have this silly illusion that it's worse today than it ever was, but that's actually not true. People used to die from getting a cut on their finger, and babies died all the time at childbirth, and more people around the world had tougher times getting food than ever before. Yes, there are different problems now that we've created because of all sorts of things, but that more people have access to the resources they need than ever before in human history. And there's also horrible problems that exist now that maybe didn't exist before. That being said, I think the human experience is supposed to be a fucked up experience. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be able to grow. Like, to me, this is like, the human experience is like the gym for our souls. And if you go to a gym and you only lift 2-pound weights, that you don't get stronger. That if we got dropped here as spiritual beings, and this was like a cakewalk of an experience, and for everyone, the experience, that experience is different to different degrees, right? We're all getting the experience we're supposed to have. But if it was like some easy experience, then we wouldn't be able to grow on a spiritual level. And so all we get is the opportunity to decide how we want our experience to be. And some people are here and they want to fight, right? They want to be fighters for causes. And some people here want to be lovers. And some people want to be magical. And some people want to be adventurers. And some people want to be voices. And I think the only thing that really matters is that you decide who you want to be in your experience, and then you go live it out. And that you allow other people to have their experiences and let it play out. But to the point of cheating, you know, violence, I just think it is the way it is. And if you don't want to have the human experience, well, then you probably can't be alive.
Yep.
And you can move on into the next experience after you die. I don't want to take that. I'm not ready to gamble on that. I'm still here having this experience. Yes. But You know, if the human experience could be a perfect experience, I think in 2000, 3000, however many years, we would have figured that out already. We actually haven't moved the needle much further, right? We still have all the same problems humans have had since the beginning of time. It's
exactly the same problems, just nicer technology, but the same problems.
And here, if you want to, there's an old like parable. I don't know where it's from. My mom told me this. She goes, you know, when you zoom out, she goes, everything people do is like a grain of sand on a scale. Oh, I think it's like Kabbalah, like from the Kabbalah. But it's like everything that humans do, it's like there's two scales, like good and evil, whatever. But everything people do is simply like a grain of sand. So whether you're you or me or Martin Luther King or Gandhi, nobody actually moves the scale that much, right? It's like these slight. And if you look at the world, did Martin Luther King impact the world? Of course he did. But we're still actually dealing with some of this exact same issues that that people had thought he dealt with. And so if we look at it, that scale conversation, it's like it was a grain of sand. He moved the scale like a tiny bit, but nobody moves the scale like dramatically.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And to what you were saying, I think I agree with. I think the perpetual condition of life is struggle. And we all go through different struggles. And that's the point. It's struggle that makes us better. And that's what it's about. And if you didn't have any struggle, it wouldn't be a life and it wouldn't be fun either. Because part of it is facing struggles and then overcoming those struggles. But struggle is the perpetual condition of all species, all living species. And strangely enough, to close here, sex is not an exception. So what's hard about relationships, about dating, about finding the right partner, all that, is because each person is struggling to find whatever is best for themselves. And then once you're in a relationship, you're trying to create also the better environment for the two of you, or three of you, depending if you have a bigger relationships. But
if you're willing to go to Tulum, if I was willing to get more rooms in Tulum.
Exactly. But the point is that it's struggle. Everyone's fighting these fights, and that's why it's difficult. It's not meant to be perfect and roses. It never was. But that's what makes it worthwhile, too. That's what gives it meaning.
Nick, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, watchers, Learn, Improve, Master is Nick's book. What's your website? Where should they go?
Unlimitedmastery.com.
There you go. If you want to find out more about Nick, his book, he is really like an expert on how to become great or skillful or master anything. Nick, we'll have to do this again at some point. I feel like we're going to go to Japan. You're going to take me to Japan, not in a romantic way, but so we can have deep conversations. So guys can have deep conversations and we can change that paradigm a little bit. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for listening, everyone. If this episode made a difference for you, who's somebody you can share it with? Who can you pass this on to that it might open up something for them or have them think about their life or their situation differently? And we will see you next time on the Dream Mason podcast. Thanks for listening. Honestly, I'm just a rebel who found a cause and has a dream, and I'm super grateful for your support. If you got anything from this, please help me out and share this podcast with one person today. You can find me at thedreammason.com or at inspirationalalex on Instagram. You are a dream mason because your dreams don't build themselves.